Welcome back, everyone, for this week's episode of Booking the Territory Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast. This is Smoky Mountain Wrestling, episode number 99 from December the 18th of 1993. We're still in Ash Central High School in Jefferson, North Carolina. I'm sitting here with Doc and Hardbody Harper. We are recording on a night we normally don't record on, Sunday night, 7 p.m., Booking the Territory with Doc and Harper. Harper had a great night last night. Wildcat Sports X-rated. By the time you hear this, it'll be almost a month old. Doc got drunk again last night, as he always does on a Saturday. That's it. Doc, how you doing, man?
I only had a few last night, but I got up early this morning with the World Cup and started cracking them open and just decided to not stop. So this ought to be interesting.
Okay.
I'm having myself a fat tire right now.
Yeah, of course, because you're a drunkard. Harper, how you doing, man? You hung over from last night, Wildcat, big show, X-rated?
No, I mean, I'm sitting here, I'm missing fucking Storage Wars because it is shit.
Jesus oh, I'm Christ. Sorry, bro.
Is that what your broad wants to watch?
That's what they got on the TV. I was like, you know, where? This is all at her house.
At whose house?
At her house.
Who's her?
Ann.
Oh, no.
And I was like, you know, this is all fake, right? She's like, oh, yeah, just like your wrestling shit. I'm like, come here, girl.
Exactly.
They don't want to believe it, Harper.
Yeah. It's like we need to sign her up for the Broads of BTT show.
Yeah, because you know damn well, 9 times out of 10, when you open up that storage thing, it's like old shoes and books and shit.
Hey, look, over in the corner, there's a Mona Lisa.
Yeah, really?
In Asswater, Kentucky.
They really never want to believe it. They just really think it's real. I don't really get it, to be honest with you. It's like, it's fake. It's fake as can be. I mean, my wife was getting all hot and bothered over Total Bellas last weekend because John Cena gave in to Nikki and told Nikki that after they broke up, he was being selfish and he would, his exact words, I'll give you a kid, I won't be selfish. So now they're supposedly back together. I told her they'll be broke up and back together twice before the damn season's over with. He's such an asshole. He treats her like shit.
She should have gone on a date. A blind date, and have it be Cena in a mask, and him calling himself the Midnight Rider.
She meets some guy on like Bumble.
I don't know what that is.
It's like a Tinder date. What's that? Site thing?
Dude, Dennis and I have been married for long stretches of time.
Right.
Back when I was in circulation, you actually had to talk to the broad.
Yeah, no, that's crazy.
and then she'd always be confused after you nailed it and stopped talking to her, but that's for her to figure out, not me.
That's nice. All right, let's jump into this thing. So, again, we're still in Ash Central High School, Jefferson, North Carolina. This is the December 18th, 1993 airing of Smoky Mountain Wrestling, which was episode 99. Dutch and Bob Cottle open up the show. Bob Cottle is so great at the beginning. Bob is reading down the run sheet for the week, for what's about to go down. And he's just no-selling Dutch, as Dutch is holding this damn boglin. And
what?
It's just...
Wait, a what?
It's called a boglin.
Oh, yeah. The little toy puppet thing he had.
Yeah. You don't remember those, Harper?
Yeah. No. Uh-huh. It was okay. Just, it was a toy from the 80s.
Yeah, it was. I always thought they were pretty funny, like little gimmicks, but whatever. The Beat the Champ match will be Larry Santo versus Smothers, and then Cornette will be on Down and Dirty on this week's episode. I just thought that the interaction here, as this is in this episode with these two, was pretty good because they were the magic early on in Smoky Mountain, and they remained that way. I was going to play it, but I'll ask you first, Doc, if you want to hear from Dutch and Bob. Right here.
No, it was that damn thing he was holding that was the stealing the my attention. I was like, why? I've never heard this term or this toy or
dude. I saw it. I was like, is that what I think it is? And it's like, hold on. It sure the fuck is.
I'm gonna play when Dutch says what's that. I'm gonna play the part and I'm gonna stop before the rock and roll promo when Bob Cottle says what is that, and the way Dutch answers him. Here it is.
I'm Bob Caudill, along with Dr. Dirty Dutch Mantel. And fans, we got another great hour in store for you this week. You're going to see in action right here during this hour the Dirty White Boy. We're going to see from the Heavenly Bodies. We also, of course, when they're around, you're going to hear from Jim Cornette. What in the world is that?
It's my friend. I'm talking to him.
We're going to hear more about the Bullet and about Dick Murdoch. And I see we got to draw our Beat the Champ.
We got a new champion, Tracy.
All right, that's enough. So it's his friend. But those two, the no-sell from Bob Caudill, if you watch it, was what got me. But anyway, on to the first match. Dirty White Boy versus Paul Lee. Harper? Paul Lee. Not Paul E. Paul Heyman. Yeah. Not Paul Heyman.
Back.
Paul Lee is back. Did you have any thoughts on seeing Paul Lee again?
Well, they like Dirty White Boy, man.
Yeah, bro. He's a man.
He's
of the
their hero.
Yep, sure is.
As Tracy was telling me, like, he's the most underrated guy.
In Smoky Mountain?
Period, is Tony Anthony.
Like, just ever he said that?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
He's got something to say there, but I think he ought to include himself in that discussion, too.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. I think... I really do think Tracy's pretty underrated, too, when it comes to this. But, all right. Well, I mean, but Tony was a really good wrestler, too. He wasn't just a good heel or babyface. If you think about how versatile he is, I mean, he's done both now in Smoky Mountain, and he's just real versatile. So I'd have to agree with Tracy. He's damn underrated. And then they make a joke out of him and make him, Jesus.
A fucking plumber.
A plumber. A goddamn plumber. You know the worst part about that is the way people...
Everything?
Yeah.
Well, no, yeah, everything. I mean, now people who only remember him from that are just kind of like, oh, T.L. Hopper, what did he ever do in the business?
Hold on. Who is that population, though? Because anybody who remembers it knows better, right?
No way.
Okay.
Fuck
me.
No, I think Doc's got a point. Anybody who knows better... You're right. People who do know better. But
anybody who remembers T.L. Hopper is going to know better. Anybody who doesn't know that that's Tony Anthony was probably a casual fan and won't remember.
I don't know, bro. You got a whole bunch of people that grew up in that goddamn Monday Night War era that just don't know any better, bro.
That's all they know, right?
That's all they know.
And I'm forgetting that most people are fucking stupid-ass saps. There's that.
That's nice, Doc.
Well, it sure is. Hey, did y'all hear Tammy out on commentary say Dirty White Girl needs more help than Margie?
Yeah.
So I was about to go to that because the first thing I was going to ask was what did you all think about the way Dirty White Girl looked? Because Bob Caudill was impressed, and then Bob asked Dutch about Dirty White Girl turning heads, and Dutch claims that he makes women turn their heads. So there you go, a little bit of interplay there as well from them too. Tammy, I did hear Tammy join commentary, and she did say that Dirty White Girl should have been on Tammy's tips. I thought that was a nice. There you go. Good stuff. But by the time this thing's over, Dirty White Boy wins quickly. Primetime Brian Lee and Tammy hit the ring. I think Primetime appeared to pull mace out and spray it in Dirty White Girl's face, and then Tammy starts painting lipstick all over Dirty White Girl as Primetime holds White Girl down. Smothers makes a save. Doc, any thoughts on the match other than what you just shared?
Man, I thought that this was turning into episode 5, the long-lost Tammy's tips. She's up there doing beauty tips on Dirty White Girl, man.
How good would that have been if she would have been on there and Tammy would have mocked her and just treated her like dog doo-doo.
And then they just tear up Noe's living room as they fight.
All right, Harper, can you imagine
how little resistance his cheap ass furniture would have put up with those two bitches?
Particle board will be flying everywhere.
Tommy, he's fucking with you, man. We'll keep going. All right, we got up next. We got Tracy Smothers promo. So here it is.
Primetime Brian Lee.
Wait a minute, I gotta check this out. I'll be right back, buddy.
Primetime Brian Lee, he takes off. Tracy Smothers comes charging out. the dirty white girl. She's all painted up in the face.
Wait a minute, guys, I need to check this out. Wait a minute. What's going on here?
No. Hey, I don't like to see a woman treated like that in any shape, form, or fashion, man. Thing. Hey, white boy, I want you to know one thing. I don't owe you nothing anymore. We are even. You understand? It's as simple as that.
Hey, man, what is it with you? What's the deal?
Hey, it ain't nothing with me, man. It's what we're both after, the Smoky Mountain Heavyweight Championship. And at Christmas Chaos, you better tie your boots on real tight.
Well, I ain't going to beg anybody to be my friend, big boy.
Hey. I don't expect you to beg, man. I expect you to be all the man you can be, man. Tie them on real tight and do like they say on The Price is Right. Come on down.
Any comments to that? Are you okay, white girl? Are you all right?
Wrong time, Brian Lee! As far as you and that two for a nickel gutter slut is concerned, this will not go unanswered, tough guy. Come on.
Okay, now you heard it, fans. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
He called her a two-for-nickel gutter slut. I didn't catch that the first time.
Damn. Oh, yeah. That's nice.
That's about cheap.
Damn. All right, Harper, what'd you have from it?
Fuck. A 2-4-nickel gutter slut?
That's pretty cheap, huh?
Jesus Christ.
Two nuts for a nickel? God damn.
Well, that don't sound bad at all.
That's a good deal for the dude, but I know. I mean, damn, the girl's kind of getting
hold on,
more than one way.
I don't know if I have enough money. Let me cut this nickel in half. I just want to get one.
That's nice, Doc. All right, Doc, any other thoughts on this promo?
Man, those two are like those old romance, those all the comedies with romantic tension in the 80s. Those guys are going to be best friends before we know it.
It's going to be like Harry Met Sally?
Yeah, something like that.
They're milking the hell out of it, man.
Yeah.
I mean, Tracy's still not trusting Dirty White Boy, and I mean, it makes sense. He screwed him over a bunch of times, like I've talked about over the last 4 weeks or so. I mean, you know, I don't know what else to say about it, but hey, we're going towards Christmas Chaos, so I'm sure things will be settled there. But Harper, anything else from you on that one?
Nah.
Okay. They go to a local promo, and it's Jim Cornette, and I was going to ask y'all to play it, but there's like something at the very beginning of it that I was like, oh my God, we got to play it just to hear your reaction to it. Do y'all know what I'm talking about when I say got to play it at the very beginning?
Mm-mm.
You don't know what I'm talking about?
I don't guess so. I'm okay, losing interest in this show.
Alright, here it is.
The Virgie, Kentucky, Virgie Athletic Center, Friday, January 14th at 8 o'clock. Two title bouts in Virgie, Kentucky. Barberville, Kentucky, Knox Central High School, Christmas Chaos this coming Monday, December 27th, 7:30 p.m. Hillbilly's Country Buffet Night, all seats only $5. The Bruise Brothers against the Moondogs, the triple threat match for the Smoky Mountain.
Alright, bro, that's what I wanted to hear. So we got Hillbilly Country Buffet Night. I mean, can you imagine what kind of blessing that was to those people for $5? I assume there's a buffet going to be included with it, but...
Man, can you imagine how many cholesterol points spike after whatever that is to Terry?
Yeah.
That's probably what?
Just bucket of lard. You,
it was a bunch of cheap-ass fried chicken, mashed potatoes, snap beans, and corn and peas and shit.
And everything was fried.
Yeah.
Everything and come out of it too, right, Hopper?
And I wash it down with lard.
Wash it down with straight syrup. There you go. Don't even worry about the carbonation from the Coke. Just put the syrup in the cup. All right, so I popped on that. But, Harper, I know you said you didn't have notes on Cornette there. Did you have notes on the local promo from Cornette, though, right there, Doc?
Just that Corny's going to be bald or Bob Armstrong's going to be gone. Something's got to give, and let's go get a ticket and watch it happen.
Yeah, really.
For $5 for Hillbilly Country Buffet. All right. They go to a recap. It's a recap of the Heavenly Bodies and Jim Cornette painting a yellow stripe down the back of that Vol sweatshirt that we saw. Furnace makes a less than enthusiastic save on that. More to come on Furnace later on in the show. I'm assuming y'all don't have any like thoughts on the recap.
I recapped it last
God,
week.
That guy.
What do you want from me?
Yeah.
Bruh, I can't deal with Furnace, bro. I cannot deal with Mike Furnace.
Guy. I'm having a problem right now, and I don't remember having this problem when I must have fast-forwarded through all this shit. I have a problem with the Moondogs. I have a problem with the Bruise Brothers. I have a problem with the Furnaces. Dude, We just need to get to 94. That'll solve our problem.
Yeah, the Moondogs are just, what the fuck, bro?
My new thing. When I mean, Furnace, I can't do it because Doug is actually good, and Corny and the Heavenly Bodies are okay. But this whole Bruise Brother Moondog thing, man, that's a straight up fast forward, just so you know. Don't come to me with anything.
All right, for sure. Let's go to Corny here, man. Corny's got a promo he's going to cut. This is, of course, you remember, they're going to be leading to this thing against the Furnaces at Christmas Chaos against with the Heavenly Bodies. Here it is.
All right, fans, we'll be at ringside right now. Here is Jim Cornette. Last week, you and the Heavenly Body, you really stirred up a hornet's nest when you started spraying that shirt. Two ex-Tennessee football players you're going to have to face at Christmas Chaos.
You know what? Two ex-Tennessee football players, about five of these rednecks in the audience, and about 10 guys from down at the soup kitchen. It wouldn't make any difference because they can't take the Heavenly Bodies. I'm looking at this as kind of a holy grail. I'm looking at this as a religious mission. It is my mission. It's my pilgrimage to humiliate the University of Tennessee, the volunteer football team, all the alumni, and every single person that thinks that the University of Tennessee football team is worth a flip, because I think they're garbage. I hate football. I hate everybody about football. I hate people that watch football. So what we're going to do, they're calling it the homecoming. Christmas Chaos. Mike and Doug Furnace. Mike Furnace, you've never had a professional match. You don't know what you're doing in that ring. You're going to be a liability. You're going to be a detriment. You rednecks know what that means? That means you're going to be an anchor around your brother Doug's neck. So Doug Furnace, for all intents and purposes, you're going to be in there all by yourself. World's strongest man, 18 legitimate strength records. Big University of Tennessee football star, played pro football, has been a big star in Japan wrestling for the past 5 years. But one man cannot take the Heavenly Bodies, Doug Furnace. And that little pipsqueak brother of yours is going to be hanging around your neck saying, Doug, what do I do now? Doug, what do I do now? And by the time that thing's over with, Furnaces, instead of being a Christmas Chaos in a wrestling ring, you're going to wish that you were back bending over with that pigskin, throwing it between your legs to somebody else to do the work, because that's the only thing you were good for to begin with. The homecoming is going to be the swan song for not only the Furnaces, but also for the Tennessee Volunteers. Go Big Orange! Ha! More like yellow.
Fans, that's all coming down at Christmas Chaos. Right now, we're ready with more action. Let's go.
All right, Doc, I'll throw it to you first, man. What'd you have from that?
Corny's got a lot of enemies.
And it ain't changed in 25 years.
It sure hasn't, man. He's got the Furnaces. He's got the Bullet. Somewhere in there, they recently, I think, dug out the tag titles. So that's always ongoing. He's just got a lot of problems. He wants to embarrass the entire university. He hates I hate everybody about football. That means he hates the three of us.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a lot of problems. Brian Last is a terrible anger management therapist. I'll have to say that.
Yeah, because he was supposed to be his anger management person.
He gets an F.
Sorry.
And by the way, while we're here, where is that Mid-South show y'all are gonna do?
I'm just the talent, bro. I'm not the producer.
Man, I gotta tell you something. I'm gonna take a little detour here. Fake Mike Mills and Late Last on Twitter are having some serious beef over this show that you were supposed to be at.
Those dudes are like losing it, huh?
They're working stiff, man.
I would say they're being very snug. They are certainly, they're not working WWF style from the late 80s, early 90s when they were barely making contact. Those dudes are working stiff, man. Harper, what did you hear from Corny right there?
He's going to be an anchor. There's no doubt about it. He sucks.
Bro, he killed me when he said Mike Furnace is going to be a liability and a detriment. And then he explained what a detriment
right.
meant to the fans, which I thought was perfect in case there was any doubt. But then here's the part about it that got me. He ain't lying right here.
Exactly.
That dude is a detriment. So he's not even lying.
How many times do we say this on this show? What part was he lying about?
Right. Exactly. Right. Okay, well, the next match, as Corny finishes his promo, is the Heavenly Bodies versus Chris Kanyon and Michael Collins. Dutch tells us at the start of the match that Del Rey won Most Eligible Bachelor in the state of Florida for 1993. So then Bob Cottle asked Dutch if he was envious of Del Rey. Dutch said no, because he won that award in Texas a few years back. And I thought it would be pretty cool to listen to that. So here it is.
There we see the gigolo Jimmy Del Rey. And I need to bring this up. He was voted 1993 Most Eligible Bachelor in the whole state of Florida by a poll taken down there.
Are you envious of him?
No, I'm not. I won it before. I won it in Texas, though. It was several years ago. But he was the most eligible bachelor in the whole state of Florida. And all the women would like just to go out on a date one time with the gigolo. But I don't know if a lot of women can handle the gigolo.
Good move
by the doctor to the gigolo.
All right, so there it was. I just thought, Doc, as you can, and Harper, as you know, one of the early treasures of Smoky Mountain was the play between these two. And I think we need to play between these two with this episode. So that's why I sprinkled that in there. On to the match. Heavenly Bodies obviously win with ease. Then they beat down Collins more at the end. Mike Furness hits the ring with his football helmet. And goddamn, he looks awkward trying to swing that frickin' helmet. It's just the shits.
He looks awkward just standing there.
Dude, it's unreal, isn't it?
Yeah. He looks like a fan.
He looks like if you and I showed up at work and said, T-Rex, we have something we need you to do this weekend. We need you to make a run at the local wrestling promotion. We would get similar results. Look at that shit.
I mean, look at him, dude.
With that hair, you know who he looks like? He looks like Jake Special. Remember her?
Yes.
Yeah.
He just looks awkward as all. I mean,
he looks like he would be better suited to trial for for Herman Munster or Frankenstein than he would for fucking wrestling.
Yeah, I don't think. I mean, I almost don't want to see this match that he does just out of fear of what it's going to look like.
I mean, he's just awkward and. He can't talk. He can't cut a promo. He gets in there and he looks awkward.
Maybe he sucked a mean dick. I don't know.
Okay, bro.
I said maybe. That's like saying allegedly. I don't know. How else would you explain him having a job?
Okay. All right. Well, we will go. Anything else, Hopper, from that match and the ending? Doc, you?
No.
All right, so we come back, and they throw us to a promo with Doug Furness now. And let me say this. I wasn't going to play it, but, Doc, you can tell me. Doug is in for a battle. And the reason I say that is if you treat this as a real sport and a shoot, it's basically 3-on-1.
This is a handicap match.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's 3-on-1.
He's 2-on-1, and he's wrestling with somebody who's a handicap.
It's 3-on-1 because of Cornette. Cornette is, I mean, it's 3-on-1. Look, his brother ain't going to cut it. No offense to Mike Furness if he's listening to this, but this is wrestling and not football. And he's awkward as...
Right, I ain't trying to get down in a three-point stance and line up with the man. That's not going to be good, but this is wrestling, pal.
Well, you speak for yourself. I don't mind getting down in a three-point stance.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, look at you.
I mean,
hey, man. Like, hey, do you think that they could have at least turned on the lights here when they're getting ready
to... For real, dude.
Man, come on.
Fuck. It's like they're trying to set the mood.
Yeah, look at this shit. Is he trying to? He's like, look, I got some pills. I'll put them in the drink. You get drowsy. You get a little bit drowsy. It'll loosen up your butthole a little bit. We'll be in business.
Keep going, Doc. Keep going.
I got some flash paper. Have you heard of this thing called the Cosmic Fireball? You're going to love it. I don't want to tell you what it is. I want to wait till the end and give you a big surprise.
Don't tense up on me. Don't tense up. Keep it loose.
Just remember this. Blood is a natural lubricant.
Whoa.
Jesus. If you're watching on the YouTube channel, you wouldn't know why we're laughing. Oh, my God. You see what he's doing with his hands? And I'm going to bust it wide open. And then after I do that, I'm going to shift it to the right over here, and I'm going to put it up against the wall, and then I'm going to take shirt off after I'm done. And I'm really going to throw a big old cosmic fireball.
I am tired of waiting. I need some of this. You need some of this.
I can't do it no more. All right.
I've been over here in Japan so long, I don't even care if you're a dude as long as it's tight back there.
Oh, wow.
Okay. All right. So that wraps that up with Mike Furness, or Doug Furness, from Japan. And poor guy, man. He's rest in peace, Doug, but you are going into a handicap match on this one. So we will keep going now. We got Down and Dirty with Cornette. But Bullet Bob has something to say first, so damn, Doc, you popped me. Let's hear what Bullet Bob's got to say.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Down and Dirty with Dust. I'm General George F. Custer, and Indians don't scare me. But before I talk to my special guest here on the exclusive edition of Down and Dirty, let's hear some comments made by the Bullet. Listen to this, and we'll be right back.
Now it's just a few days away. All the sleep I've lost has come right down to this final point when I got a chance to prove something to everybody in the Smoky Mountain area, is that I can beat Dick Murdoch, that I don't have to take off this mask and leave if I am Bob Armstrong. I can take your money, but most of all, I can have your hair. I can make you look like a billiard board, Jim Cornette. You know them old billiard balls that are so slick? People will be wanting to feel your head just to see how slick it is. They'll be putting axle grease on your head, brother, and just rolling you around the room because everybody in Knoxville will get to see it. I'm going to honor my contract. If I lose, I'm going to take this mask off, and if I am Bob Armstrong, I'm history. But if you lose, mister, if you lose, you're going to shave every hair on that nutty head of yours, and I'm going to have every Armstrong in the country, every fan of mine in this Civic Coliseum in Knoxville, Tennessee, is going to see that you fulfill your contract, because we'll get around the ring, and you won't be able to leave till we shave your whole head. The Scalp Hunter, the Bullet, right here in Knoxville, December 25th. The Ball Man, Mr. Kojak. They'll have to change your name. Kojak Cornette. I just can't wait, brother. And it's just a little while away, and I want to show you, Murdoch, and your mama that the Bullet is still bad to the bone.
All right, I'll stop it there. Harper, did you have any thoughts before we go to the next part of that?
I'm thinking, God, if you did this now, I mean, people would know who in the hell Kojak is.
That's the exact thing I thought. I said, I think anybody not our age watching this is like, who's Kojak?
I mean, even people that's our age wouldn't even know.
Come on.
Yeah.
No,
right.
I mean, people our age know from because I mean, the movies were, it was like 80s, right? When that was out?
Even our dumbass listeners know that.
No. I think what he's saying is like, if you're not at least 40 years old, you probably.
Right. You know what the fuck he's talking about with his Kojak.
Maybe. I don't know. It's hard to say. Okay. Like, we can't prove it, so. Flat Earth, right. Man.
Flat.
If you can't prove something, why worry about it?
Yeah, fuck it.
Yeah, hear that. Doc, thoughts on a promo right here from Bullet Bob?
So that's not Bullet Bob. That's the Bullet.
Yeah. I'm sorry, the Bullet.
Allegedly, Bob, man. Come on.
Okay, Bullet.
Man, how about Dutch? I want to know what happens here.
Dutch tells us he's General George Custer, but he ain't scared of Indians.
Why would he be?
Yeah.
What's an Indian ever done to anybody?
Oh, okay. Let's keep going. All right. So next they throw it to Murdoch, and let me just say this. I'm not going to play it, but Murdoch's got a beer and a beautiful woman, and he says he don't need
play it.
He don't need nothing else. The music in the background, it'll get caught. It'll get CC'd with the music in the background. But
What does that mean?
I don't hate educating you on a fly all the time. You are a fucking idiot. I've explained it to you 50 motherfucking times, and you never, ever get it. Harper, what were you about to say?
No. What's CC mean?
See?
Copyrighted.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, copyright claimed. Anyway, Doc, well, any thoughts on Murdoch?
How come they don't stop it from playing this when they play like Dirty white boys music and all.
They do. They don't stop it. What they do is they claim it, and then whoever the artist is, they can monetize the video.
Oh, okay.
So like if I were to upload anything that's original music by an artist, they can claim it. And
wait a minute, we're making Foreigner rich. We got to cut this shit out.
We don't play it.
Oh, okay.
I don't ever play music.
I really can't say I know what goes on our YouTube stuff or on Patreon or really. I don't really remember what we said at the beginning of this episode. So
he's not as smart as he thinks he is. Everybody,
maybe we
there
should just
go.
Continue. I don't care.
All right. So Murdoch says he's going to whoop an inbred Tennessee hero, which he's referring to the Bullet. And Murdoch runs down the Armstrong as only he can do. Doc, did you have any thoughts on Murdoch, what he said there? This was nothing like the last one.
I like that he's up front about the fact that he doesn't really care about Cornette. He's doing this for the money. He's in it for the cash. That's even more dastardly. There's no honor among thieves. I'm trying to get paid. But
yeah, really.
Man, I'm still worried about that girl.
You think she's still in Colorado, hemmed up somewhere?
Well, I was thinking instead of Dances with Wolves, this might be Dances with Rednecks. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Let's go to Cornette now. Here's Jimmy in the ring, and he's got to have his say so on Down and Dirty today.
I got to tell you something right now. Shut up out here, will you? Quiet. A lot is on the line, Jimmy. No, Jimmy. No. I'm holding him back from y'all. Don't let me turn him loose. Now leave him alone, Jimmy. A lot on the line at Christmas Chaos. $5,000 on the Christmas Chaos tour, but in Knoxville, your hair is on the line. Dutch, don't do that. I'm real sensitive about that.
Shut up.
Let me explain something. I agreed to put up $5,000 of my mother's money against the Bullet at Christmas Chaos if the Bullet would put his mask up. I have brought Dick Murdoch in to take the Bullet out, to beat him. So I will get that mask off and Bob Armstrong will be banished forever. But what does Smokey Mountain Wrestling do to me? They slipped something in the contract that I signed.
Contract tampering.
And they slipped a clause in there that in Knoxville on Christmas night, it would not be $5,000 of mine at stake. It would be my hair. Now, I don't want people calling me Baldy.
Baldy, Baldy, Baldy.
And I know that after all the things that I have done to Bob Armstrong.
Dude, they're like a puppet on a string, dude.
The final revenge for Bob Armstrong, the final humiliation that he could heap on me would be to beat Dick Murdoch in Knoxville Christmas night and have them shave my head in the middle of the ring. But I guarantee you this, Bob Armstrong, and everybody knows it's you.
Listen up.
I swear, as God is my witness, that I hate your stinking guts worse than any human being that I've ever hated in my life. I will do anything. I will take any measure. I will pay any price to see that Dick Murdoch, Christmas night in Knoxville, beats you and takes that mask off your face, reveals your identity, and gets you banned from Smoky Mountain Wrestling, the place that you love, with all the people that you love, for the rest of your stinking life. And for the people on the rest of the Christmas Chaos Tour, if he doesn't get the job done on Christmas night in Knoxville, Murdoch will have more chances. But when I show up for that thing, if he doesn't get it done Christmas night, I'm going to be balder than a cue ball, and I can't stand to think about that. Okay, shut up. The man is obviously in a lot of pain. Don't go away, people. We'll be back, you morons. Stay tuned. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Jimmy, you okay?
That's why I let it play till the very end. But, Doc, thoughts?
And Cordy's getting desperate now.
Why do you say that?
Well, he did that whole thing that he normally does where he goes through the gamut of emotions. He's tough. He hates. Then it's like, uh-oh. The reality sitting in. I don't want to be bald. I like at the beginning, too. He's like, he got his mama's money. That's nothing for me to go get some of Mama's money.
Yeah, that's a good point. Always throwing out Mama Cornette. I got to agree with you there.
But you acted at the beginning like he had done some feat by getting these people to chant. These people are stupid, dude. It ain't that big of a deal.
I mean, I just think that
you don't think if we got in the car and drove a few hundred miles to the east, we couldn't get Raleigh Arnwine to yell if we just told him what to do?
No, he's a pretty intelligent Tennessean. Let me just say that. So I don't think longtime listener and patron. How you doing, Riley Arnwine? I don't think he's going to get all riled up like these hillbillies would. These hillbillies are going to get riled up. These hillbillies are a notch under the T-Rex. So that ought to tell you where. Yeah. All right. What the hell, Harper?
Shut up.
Harper, what's wrong, man?
The goddamn headphones came on. Fuck.
What happened?
Get your girl to put some duct tape on them.
Yeah, the headphones came unplugged.
All right. Well, that said, how was the promo? Dude, you got any thoughts on it?
He's fucking working these motherfuckers. I mean, he has some eating out of his fucking hand.
For something so simple, too.
Mm-hmm.
The Baldy chant. Jesus Lord. I mean, yeah, it's chant. Elementary.
In 1993.
Right. When the business has been exposed.
Right.
not in this part of the country it hadn't.
That's true, too. It's probably still kind of like that there in many of the towns. But, all right. Okay, so they go next to a plug. It's the Best Western Eldridge Inn again. We talked about that either the last week or week before. Then Tracy Smothers beats Larry Santo quickly as Candido joined commentary to talk about he has been screwed over lately by Smoky Mountain and that there's a conspiracy against him. Good luck with that conspiracy, Candido. After that is a Darryl Van Horn promo. And let's play. Let's listen to Mr. Van Horn, who I did hear from this week. But here we go.
Right now, let's hear these words from the strangest man in Smoky Mountain Wrestling, Darryl Van Horn.
Everyone has wondered how the association between Prince Karras and myself came to be. Well, now the secret can be revealed. The ancient ways are still observed in parts of modern-day Egypt. While in Cairo, my professor, Ardot Bey, took me to the location of the tomb of Prince Karras, the high priest of the Temple of the Sun. The tomb had lain undisturbed by grave robbers for over 3,000 years. The riches that lay within would make both of us wealthy beyond our wildest dreams. When the king died, the high priest in turn took his own life and was entombed with the king so as to protect him throughout eternity. So it was with Prince Karras, whose life ended before its time. We discovered in the tomb the scroll of Thoth, the words which Isis used to raise Osiris from the dead. While burning the Tanis leaves, we read aloud from the scroll, invoking the spirit of King Imhotep of the 18th dynasty, and we were visited by the power of Amon-Ra, the god of gods. Suddenly, Ardot Bey spoke the words which struck fear in even my jaded heart. Prince Karras lives! The man who gazes into Prince Karras' eyes sees the pain of 3,000 years of suffering, the anger of 3,000 years of captivity in a tomb of his own making. The revenge of the pharaohs will be visited upon all who cross his path. But they need not fear, as Prince Karras is proof that death is but a doorway to new life.
You'd like to raise money for your school, club, or
city? No, I do not.
Like, seriously, man, I kind of...
I think he should have blown the candles out at the end, so it just went to black.
And then everyone goes, what did you wish for?
Dude, those candles probably dropped wax on some scandalous broads, too, man. You know he was... You know, you ever just be like, man, dude, let's 86 the mummy and just go bang some rats.
Dude, This promo reminded me of those crazy Ultimate Warrior promos. We don't know what the fuck he's talking about.
Yeah, but the only difference is between Warrior and
this was actually
James Mitchell. Go ahead, Doc.
This is actually real. It's just there's not a chance that anybody watching it knows what the hell's going on.
What in the fuck he's talking about. They're like, where in the hell's Egypt?
It's not just that. It's just this whole mummy thing has got to be one of the dumbest things ever.
How long did this last for?
Too long.
Too long. And the worst part about it is this dude is right up there with Corny. With being able to verbally eviscerate people in promos. And he's
on mummy duty.
Right. It's just sad from that point. Because he's freaking... I mean, think about from the time we first heard him. Who like, holy shit. This is like a turn out of left field. And all of a sudden, it's just like... he's like Doc said, he's relegated to mummy duty. And it's like, what are we listening to? Or what are we watching, not listening to? Because he's trying. You can't blame him. He's pin me, pay me, right, Doc?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm starting to hate Egypt. Maybe we should bomb them and get them some freedom.
That's nice, Doc. All right. Any other thoughts on Darryl Van Horn right there?
Well, it's not his fault, like you said. I mean, we'd like for him to... Man, he ought to have something good. Like, he ought to be in a deal where he's trying to, like, steal all of Tracy Smothers' rats or something.
God, imagine that. That would actually be pretty nice. But then, Tammy would have to be with somebody else.
Well, then like, maybe he should. Maybe well, then she becomes good, and he starts trying to seduce her with his weird ways, and she's
fantasy,
like,
"Fantasy book that though." Him and good. My bad.
You're gross. And he's like, I know, but think of the things I could do. And she gets, like, wildly amused. And that sets her up to then manage the gangsters later in 1994.
Oh, my God. Bro, I was telling Doc Harper that I've been listening to, a couple weeks back, I was listening to James Mitchell, a.k.a. Darryl Van Horn's clips from Corny's YouTube channel.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. Like, just the stuff that he was... I re-listened to the one where about Brian Lee and Brian Lee schooling them on how to make the rats buy the clothes for you and then still hold out on the dick. Don't give them the dick after. Yeah. It's just really, really good stuff. But lots of stuff there on James Mitchell and go to the Corny YouTube channel. Okay, anything else, Harper, from what we just heard from Darryl Van Horn?
No.
All right.
I just want to see the whole mummy thing go away.
Good God.
And see him move on to someone else.
Well.
Yeah.
You want to hurt somebody's feelings, Doc? What you about to say?
No.
Well, we won't say.
I figured that was enough of a spoiler. Jesus.
We won't say anything.
Well, okay. I think I am going to say it now. I think the next guy he manages after this would probably be Mortis, huh?
Oh, really? Fuck.
I think so. I don't think he goes anywhere else after I mean, I don't think he does anything else in Smoky Mountain.
Oh, I have an idea. Why don't you have him on the show and have him tell us?
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, I talked to him recently via social media, and we're just trying to nail down a time. I mean, he said he would do it, but James Mitchell is pretty busy dealing with the Jezebels nowadays.
Doing the devil's deeds. I get it. Trust me, I know. I know the feeling.
Hey, James, if you're listening, Mr. Van Horn, if you're listening.
Mister. Nobody like him deserves Mr. or would want to be called Mr.
Okay, and you're going to school me after you said, after the first promo, which is on our YouTube channel that I posted by itself, you said he's a dirty bastard in the most respectful way possible.
Right, that's different than calling somebody Mr.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Mitchell. Yeah, James Mitchell. He's a lot older than me. So, but anyway, he's out there banging the Jezebel still.
Nice. That's respectful. Hey, old man, what's up?
What? Okay. Well, let's keep.
You shouldn't do the talking. Just move us on to the next segment and let Harper and I do our jobs.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we got the Rock and Roll Express, and they lose the belts from the Heavenly Bodies, or they lose the belts to the Heavenly Bodies at WWF Survivor Series pay per view. Now, let me say this: pretty big deal that the Heavenly Bodies and Rock and Roll are on a WWF pay-per-view in 1993. Again, it would kind of be like if you saw somebody from ROH or Impact put their talent on a WWE pay-per-view today. You'd raise an eyebrow, but yeah. Doc, thoughts?
Well, we just heard Gorilla Monsoon on color commentary on Smoky Mountain Television.
I know,
wrap,
huh?
Wrap your head around that. I'm telling you, we said this the last time that they fought the Steiners. You cannot just see how big this was to show pay-per-view matches on free TV on regional television.
Yep.
This in 1993. This was huge. And I don't know if Corny got Vince's permission or just said, fuck it. I don't know.
I think he said he did.
Okay. So here's a legit question I have for you guys. When was the last time before this Morton and Gibson wrestled together as the Rock and Roll Express in a ring that big?
Well, I don't know.
I'm just wondering, because they were probably doing independence together for a while. Morton had turned heel in WCW. I'm just wondering, you're on a pay-per-view. Does that mess you up to not have been in a ring that big in a while, and then now you're on a pay-per-view and you go do it?
I don't think so. Not for guys like them. I mean, they did this crap every night. Fucking, you know, Crockett in front of a big crowd.
Okay. Just wondering.
Yeah.
The thing is, the crowd did not respond to fucking any of this.
The crowd didn't give one single solitary shit about it, anything that happened. Uh-uh. Not even when Dr. Tom kicked out of the damn double dropkick. Did y'all see that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, no one gave a shit. It sucked.
I just think that Del Rey on pay-per-view is a dirty, dirty proposition.
Well, the Rock and Roll lose the belts, and to Doc's point, Gorilla Monsoon calling a Del Rey and Heavenly Bodies and Rock and Roll match, and don't forget, Bobby Heenan called the Steiners match that they played, so they've had Gorilla and Bobby call their matches when they're out there. Harper, did you have anything from this besides what we've already said?
I mean, I was just pissed off. I was like, man, no one's fucking responded to these guys putting a fucking big-time match on.
They needed to get out the paddles for that crowd, man. They were dead.
Yeah.
They were. They were very much dead, man. It was like church up in there or something, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. All right. So after that, we go to the next match. It's the Moondogs versus the Rock and Roll Express. Rock and Roll Express win. They take less than 2 minutes to win. Because the Bruce Brothers come out and they get involved and they hit the Fraggle Rock Moondog with a chair. I say Fraggle Rock because that's what Harper called him. And then the Rock and Roll hits that guy with the double drop kick and they pin the Fraggle Rock looking Moondog. Rock and Roll get the win. They don't have their belts though, as we just discussed. Harper, any thoughts on this match? I mean, I'm not invested in these Moondogs at all.
Fuck
but
those guys suck, man.
All right, Doc, you?
What Harper said.
He's just ready to move on from it. He's like,
hey, man, I
these guys.
I said, my exact notes on this match was IFF'd because I'm done with these guys.
And you weren't lying, bro. You really were done with them, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Any thought? Let me ask Doc. Local promo, there's a Tracy Smothers followed by Dirty White Boy and Dirty White Girl. I don't have any like major notes from it, but I didn't want to just skip it if you had something.
I didn't have any notes. The only thing I had was then when White Boy was out, he was wearing Zubaz pants and a Harley Davidson getup up top and a Buck Snort shirt. So he was like at the zoo. He had to be a new wrestler, the Zubaz biker.
Dude, yeah. He had, like Doc said, the freaking Buck Snort t-shirt. I'm looking at Dirty White Girl. Dirty White Girl is dressed straight 90s right there.
Dude, somebody, I can't remember, but this is now going to be when this plays a few weeks back. So I maybe three, probably 4 or 5 weeks back, if we're going to be honest about it. But there was somebody on our Facebook page when White Girl made her debut that said about her, I liked my candy that's been dropped on the floor. And that's a pretty good description of what we have going on here.
Do you want to explain what that means for people that don't get it?
No. I'm going to let you do it.
No, I don't want to, because that's just dirty. Yeah. All right. Well, we will keep going. So after that, the Moondogs lost, and then out comes Corny, who calls out the Bruise Brothers. So time for some Corny action here. Here it is.
Let me say one thing to those stinking, hairy, overgrown, ignorant, imbecilic, redneck, white trash, biker bar going Bruise Brothers. We ain't gonna stand for that. We ain't gonna tolerate it. We ain't gonna put up with it. If you want some of the Moondogs, Bruise Brothers, then you drag your big hairy butts in here and we'll give you all you want.
Well, let's see if the Moondogs...
Cowards! Cowards!
Well,
cowards!
He's cowards, calling them
come
cowards.
On, Bruise Brothers!
And he's daring the Bruise Brothers to come out and calling them out.
Wait a minute,
and
here they come.
Answer that dare, and here they come.
Mona, here come this.
And these are four big guys.
All right, so the Bruise Brothers come out, and they start pounding on the Moondogs, and Corny brings out powder for... How many times, Doc, has Corny brought out powder in the last two months?
27.
Dude, has he... He's got to be averaging three per month. What would you say, Hopper?
I would say so, yeah.
Okay.
He did it last week, didn't he?
I don't remember, but I've seen
this
it so many
week,
times.
That week, the other week.
Lots of powder. But anyway, the Bruise Brothers, if you're watching on the YouTube channel, they come out. What happens right here is they now take a ass-whipping, basically, from the Moondogs for the remainder of the episode, and that's actually how the show ends up going off air. It's just a beatdown from the Moondogs to the Bruise Brothers. And like Doc said, I am just no way, shape, or form invested in anything that these four dudes are doing.
Dude, if you think I fast forward to when the Moondogs are on, and you think I fast forward when the Bruise Brothers were on, not even Corny could save this.
Yeah, fuck that.
Corny,
goddamn bone.
Corny, nor could Dutch and Bob with the commentary save this. This was just, I got nothing else to say. So with all that said, let's go to disability checks. Before we do so, become a patron. It's tinyurl.com/BTT patron. It is a great way to support the show. You get all the extra patron-only content. Right now, I'm approaching, I think we've uploaded 80. I'm approaching 80 uploads at this point. You haven't uploaded anything. You've been on the show with me. You haven't uploaded. See, I got you on a technicality. You asshole. tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. Become a patron. Go there. Get access to the world-class shows. Get access to the Homo Depot, as Doc called it, long, long time ago.
What?
The
Dallas
Cowboys Ring Rat House, the Broad Logic episodes. We've actually done about four Broad Logic episodes. So we talk about bringing the BTT broads on all the time for the bonus
show. We could wear GoPros and have a stream of that show at all times.
Jesus Christ, you ain't lying about that. But anyway, so become a patron. It's tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. And then while I'm thinking about it, go to our Pro Wrestling Tee store. Check the links in the show description. Hopper's shirt is there. Go to the Tee Public store. Doc's shirt is there. All of the links are in the show description. Go to facebook.com/bookingtheterritory and click shop now. That is where you can get to the Pro Wrestling Tee store. And again, the Tee Public store is in the show description. Just check out the notes from the show. Disability check time, and here we go. I'm having trouble with this one, Doc.
Yeah, no, huh?
I got to be honest, bro. I mean.
Be honest. Speak on it.
I mean, Tracy Smothers and Dirty White Boy and Girl at the beginning with some nice promos. Cornette kind of burying Mike Furness. And then you actually helped raise the score with your commentary on Doug Furness. That was pretty damn funny. I'm about to piss some people off, bro.
What?
This shit's getting a 6.5.
Mm.
I mean, tell me what happened here that I'm supposed to get excited about going towards Christmas Chaos.
The Moondogs.
Well, I'll see if I can help a little bit here. Murdoch continues to cut promos.
Yeah, okay.
Dirty White Boy and Smothers are inching closer together.
Yeah, okay. Bruh, you digging through your notes kind of deep, bruh. You digging, bruh. That's usually not a good sign. When a lawyer starts doing that in the courtroom and he ain't got nothing coming out of his mouth, bruh, that's problems.
I wouldn't know what happens in a courtroom, pal, because I'm not you or your skin color. So, I don't know.
That's nice.
What do you want? You want me to rate this thing?
Yeah, go ahead. We're waiting on you.
Man, I feel like I'm being very generous.
Oh, you are.
Because it's the Lord's Day and all. I'm going to say 7.1.
You're being very generous.
Yeah.
Harper?
I'll give it a 7. And like Doc said, that's just, it's fucking being nice.
Bro.
Yeah, I mean, it was.
You haven't been down, you haven't given it a 6.5 since like early 92.
See, I don't want to give it that low because, like, even at Smoky Mountain's worst, it's still better than today's, the best of today's product.
That's a great point, yes.
So, that's why I give it a 7, because I don't want to shit on it that bad, but
let me throw out a spoiler. Let me throw out a spoiler. If you think this one's bad,
oh, God.
Wait till next week.
Well, yeah. Harper makes a good point.
Well, Harper and I are going to have to really put on our working shoes and lead the people through this because, I mean, the promotion's not going to do it. The host of the show is not going to do it. Somebody's going to have to entertain these people next week, Harper, and it's going to have to be you and me.
Fuck.
I hope you have jokes or something.
Harper makes a real good point, though. When we grade these, people should understand we're grading these based on the Smoky Mountain standard and not the standard right of today. Because at the end of the day,
I think that's been understood since we started this.
I agree. I'm just reiterating. But the thing is, it wasn't like we spent 3 hours muddling through a 7.0 and a 6.5 episode.
Yeah. Okay, so the bigger question is that on a show where you're scrounging for points to justify, you know, scores, who gets the cheese?
Fuck, I'm almost going to give it to you for that Doug Furness that Doug Furness promo that you cut while he was talking.
Well, I just wanted everybody to know that I'm just as good at doing that kind of thing as Conrad is. So, you know, he'll do that every once in a while, and everybody loses their mind. But I could do that shit too, you know. Maybe I ought to marry one of Flair's kids.
Conway's pretty damn funny when he does it, though. It's kind of hilarious when a lot of the ones he does. I gotta say, him and Shivani, they're pretty damn good at that shit. I don't know who's writing the material.
Well, hey,
them,
man, why don't you? I like to eat. Why don't you give me the cheese? I deserve it.
There you go. You get the cheese. No, fuck you. You ain't getting no cheese. That shit'll blow your fucking head. You won't be able to make it out of your bedroom tonight. Won't be able to make it to work tomorrow. Okay. Who are you giving yours to?
Me?
Yeah. I'm giving mine to the fucking Boblin puppet that fucking Dutch had in the beginning.
That says more about this program than anything else we just said.
I'm giving mine to Dutch and Bob Cottle for the commentary. I gotta say that. Doc, who are you giving yours to?
I'm going a little bit different direction, and I am going to be serious about this. The crowd may not have been over, but that doesn't mean that the crowd is right. This is the second time the Heavenly Bodies have been on pay-per-view that we've seen in the WWF. And, dude, they look like they belong up there.
Dude, for real, man.
They get up there on TV, and they rise to the moment in terms of capability and in the ring. And Dr. Tom and Del Rey look like they belong on the main roster. And for that reason, I'm going to give the Heavenly Bodies the government cheese.
And then they made poor Dr. Tom Zip.
Yeah. We're going to dye your hair blonde and shit and cut it and call you.
And cut your hair.
They made him cut his hair just to see if he would, too.
Yeah.
That's the only reason they made him cut that hair.
Ain't that that's messed up.
Because how many trainers do you know out there, personal fitness guys, have long hair back then in those days. All of them.
Yeah, they all. I mean, that was the standard. I mean, when you look at the WWE superstars back then, they all had that fucking long hair.
Except for Dr. Tom. Yeah. All chopped up. We need you to look like Candido. Why?
They made a joke, out of the poor dude.
Do I get to turn on Sonny too? What the hell?
Oh, boy. All right. So there you have it. Check out our Amazon referral link. It's another way to support the show. tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. Go get Bobby Blaze's book, Pin Me, Pay Me, from there, or anything else you can buy from Amazon. Give it to the wives and girlfriends and tell them to bookmark it. Again, it's tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. Shout out to my buddies from the Wrestling Podcast About Nothing. ROH's Brian Malonis, Mike Crockett. They do their podcast every single Monday. Just search Wrestling Podcast About Nothing wherever you get your podcast from and give them a listen. And then shout out to our Vantage Point Retro Wrestling Podcast with Joe Murata and Michael Quinn. Thank you for your support, guys. Thank you for all your plugs. Check them out. They're the northern version of BTT, but much more classier. There you have it. So I don't have anything else. Doc, you got anything before we get out of here and go do episode 100?
Nah.
All right. Harper, you got anything before we go do episode
100?
No. Harper, do us a favor. Hit the tagline and take us home.
Book it, bitch.